Hey everyone, it's Ash Ketchum, and you're listening to Hypeable.com's PokeChat. So download, comment, and subscribe. Gotta catch 'em all, right?
Hello, and welcome to PokeChat, episode number 35. We are doing our 6XY playthrough. Jack Saman joining Mitch. Jack, you haven't been on in a while. How you doing, bud?
Pretty good. I haven't been on in a while. It's been very busy lately, but I'm here. I'm here now.
You've had enough time to fit Pokemon in your life, haven't you?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'm keeping up. And wherever I go, actually, someone is always talking about Pokemon X. I told you about this, Mitch, but last weekend I was at this party, and then I remember there's about three of us sitting in a group, just four or five of us sitting in a group, just talking about Pokemon X and Y, and it was awesome. It was really cool.
Oh, that's funny. And you said you recorded some of it, so I'd love to hear that one day. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. And that was funny, because that was actually when you guys were recording PokeChat. So I sort of have my own little PokeChat going on the side as well.
Oh, that's sweet. Saman, how are you doing on this fine... It's Thursday for you, but it's a Wednesday for USA right now.
I'm a day in the future. No, I'm actually really good, because uni is winding down, so more time for pokey stuff.
Sweet, yes, indeed. Let's have some pokey stuff. Quick correction, actually, from last week. I said that... I think it was that Lapras was the only water ice type. Yeah, that was wrong. As Ariel said live on the show, there was also the Cloyster line that is Water Ice, and the Seal in Sfeel line are also Water Ice. There even might be another one. I'm sure another person can write in if they know another one. I mean, I could easily Google it, but it's much more fun to say something wrong so you guys can write in and tell us what's right.
That was early.
It was very early. So thank you, HP is Legend, for writing on that YouTube stream for that comment that we did a little bit of a mistake there, but that's okay. So now we're jump right into where we left off after beating that grass gym. As you're leaving that city of Coromine City, you will get a random holo clip from Lissandre. Lissandre is the big red-haired man who's looming in the background, doing some sketchy stuff. We know he's up to something. And that's confirmed more by him saying that he's going to change the world. Jack, right here and then, were you smelling something fishy with Lissandre?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say he's obviously a member of Team Flare, but the hair just gives it away.
Absolutely. It does, and I think that it does. But later on, we're going to see another... What is called a random NPC that gives away too much, one or two do inside of Lumiose City, and they pretty much confirm all that we're speculating. So, I mean, it's Pokemon. I'm not expecting there to be like big twists, but they didn't even try and hide like the hidden evil leader this time. Kind of funny. Okay, so Sycamore scientists catch up with you at the gate and remind you about Lumiose City's power outage in the northern half. And they also are looking to guide you to Mount Kalos, apparently. So by guide you, I assume that means they're going to show up immediately and be like, oh, here's another gift. Oh, we're going to heal you now. Oh, here's full restores. Blah, 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 blah. So that's what they're up to. So apparently we're going to a mountain. I got to admit, I haven't spent too much time looking at the Kalos region map yet to see a mountain, so it's going to be neat to explore that to its fullest extent. All right, so jumping right into Route 13, Lumiose Badlands, as you walk into this very desert-looking area, you'll find that strong winds make it very hard to move in the overworld, and that rolling dirt piles represent the wild Pokemon encounters, including Dugtrio, very appropriate for the way that you encounter these Pokemon. So, Saman, are you a big fan... Go ahead, Jack.
I was saying Dugtrio was frustrating me because it just would not let you leave that arena trap.
I know. Seriously.
It was trying to get annoying. Away from it. I catch it just to get part of my Pokedex, and then they just keep popping off, and it's frustrating the hell out of me.
And Trapinch, I'm sure, had his arena trap going, right?
I don't know, but Trapinch is good because I was actually really wanting to get a Flygon for my team, so I was pretty happy when Trapinch showed up.
Sweet. Yeah, Trapinch was pretty common. I'm surprised by how common he was. But no, he was common in Gen 3. Like, remember that desert in Gen 3? That was There was trip inches everywhere, and that's where I learned what Arena Trap did. When those trip inches wouldn't let me go. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've always liked Flygon, but I would never have it in my team, like Gen 3 or beyond, just for whatever reason. So that's why I said, I sort of thought to myself, I thought, well, if I see a Trapinch come up, I'm going to catch it just so I can have a ground and dragon type coverage in my team. And it was good. I'm happy that it showed up.
Definitely. I think it was pretty cool. So, Arena Trap aside, it's very difficult to even escape these battles because it's very Final Fantasy, because the fights happen as a creature will chase after you. And of course, the winds are making it more difficult to move. So you're playing like a fun game where you can only move in one direction really fast, because the wind will push against you if you go any other direction. So you'll be pushed off course of what area you were trying to go to in the Badlands, depending on the dirt pile following you around. So at one point I was just like, come attack me, whatever. It's experience. I'll bring out my Lapras, he'll surf you guys to crap, and you'll be good. Which was a mistake, I needed my Lapras for what was coming up in the Badlands, so I was not too happy that I wasted it on Dugtrio and Trapinch. Okay, so you use your rollerblades to grind around on the Badlands. It's confusing because at some points there are long rails that have a small little dip in them, which make you jump off, but the long rails lead to an item. So is there like some like rollerblade trick that I'm missing? Like, do I not know turn around the circle pad and press A and B to do a super flip or something? Like, what's going on?
You're basically just going to get a major running start at it. It took me a while to figure that out as well.
Yeah. If you get a big running start, you'll jump over that little gap.
Yeah. You gotta zoom.
I thought it was because I was like pushing down on the button when I was going, so I thought maybe that was sort of making me sort of move it a bit and fall off. It was weird. I didn't understand why I was doing that either.
Yeah, so it was a bit weird, but it's okay because someone just gave us our answer. You just get a good running start if you're able to avoid those Dugtrio dirt piles following you around. Suddenly, you'll see a Team Flare member somewhere in the southern part of the Badlands. They are causing trouble around here, surprise, surprise, when you defeat one of the grunts on one of the four bridges of the Badlands. He pulls a Team Rocket circa Gen 2 and tells you exactly where to find the power plant pass via the diving machine. So,
we've seen this before.
Bit of a recycled story point right here. Saman, were you bothered by their unoriginality with Team Flare's grunt giving you the key by dropping it? And he's like, oh, where is it? It's right in front of my face. Walk 5 steps to the right, you'll find it.
That is so laughable. It's like they want you to find it. Like,
no, it totally did.
That grunt did not try.
Well, that was the joke with you know, that Team Rocket member that does that in their hideout in Gen 2, because it's really funny how there it's not even like an item you need to find with a dowsing machine. You can literally find it by just looking in front of you, and it's electro ball or whatever, you know, Voltor ball.
Oh no, I dropped the lift key.
Yeah, seriously, where's the lift key? I'll never be able to find it ever again. Oh god, that's funny. I'll never get over the one guy in, I don't remember which game, but he loses his glasses, but he's still wearing them. His character sprite's still wearing them. He's like, I've lost my glasses. Where could they be?
That was Gen 3.
And it turns out to be Jack Winnow. And it turns out to be something like that, like up psychic power or something. I'm like, why were you wearing those in the first place? Those probably didn't even work as real glasses. God. Maybe they were sunglasses. I don't know. Okay, so as you get that power plant pass, you can go into one, count them, one entrance to the power plant, although there are four. Don't ask me why, but that's the most I know in this part of the game, so it's the most I know. No one's spoiling me, Saman. I know you played all the way through. So you are greeted by a knock-knock joking grunt, kind of cute. Workers and scientists reveal in this room that they're being held captive in that Flare is redirecting the power for Northern Lumio City for something extremely dastardly. That's all we get. So there's all these scientists and workers, like construction workers or electricians, that are holed up in one room, and there's one guy who wants to sell you water for more than it usually would be, because he's like, you know, stuck in a hostage situation. That's his deal. There's one guy who's like, I'm stuck. I'm looking at this wall. I can't get out of here. It was really funny. Jack, did you like that guy too?
It was funny. I got that as well, that he was charging extra because people needed it more.
Yeah, that's
fun. Business goes.
Take a please.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool though because I was like, hey, it's kind of real world. Like, someone had water and I don't know, something horrible in the real world, they would probably sell it for more. So
Yeah, like at carnivals and festivals and stuff, they'll sell water for like $4, but then you can buy like a 20-pack of cheap like water from Coles for the same amount. So,
from Coles, wait,
whatever.
okay.
Coles is the supermarket in Australia.
No, okay, I understand that.
I've been
But Coles in America is a department store, so that's strange.
Well, Coles is like a supermarket, and then there's also Woolworths, which is the other big supermarket.
You guys have Targets, right, both of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a
We
general.
went to Target.
Yeah, it's a
Yeah, you guys
general
did when you
store.
visited each other.
Yeah, it's a general store for
Yeah.
both of you, right? It's a furniture store
Yeah.
here.
So Target is a furniture store for you? God, that's strange.
I didn't know that.
This all came from that one guy selling
Anyway.
water in the game Pokemon X and Y. Wow, that amazing. Sweet. So as you walk out of the hostage room, you will be ambushed by a grunt that has a Mighty Enya, a pretty cool Pokemon from Gen 3, if I do say so myself. After you defeat him, he blocks your path off to the right at this like grate area. You're walking on like, a risen grate or like a catwalk, so you can't walk to the right. You have to go around him to the left. As you walk into the center area of that catwalk, you'll see a Team Flare admin, that's his name, that's all he's got, and scientist, is it Lana or Eliana? I'm not sure how Alianna is pronounced, but it looks like it's going to be Alana. So I'll
Oh,
call
yeah.
her Alana. So scientist Alana and a Team Flare admin are talking about how they've done what they needed to do in this power plant, and they're going to both battle you. Both were jokes because at this point, I just know every battle's going to be a joke because I have EXP all on. I'm not going to find a battle difficult up until I'm to the Elite Four, so I'm just going to leave that commentary out of it because I know everyone's going to get sick of hearing Mitch say, "Oh, it's so easy." Like I'm going to sound, super cocky if that's all I say for every single battle, but it's not like I'm super good. It's just like I'm using the cheaper way to fight through.
It is a bit easy.
It is a bit easy, and it's funny that I, of all people, would be like using EXP all when I'm all like, "Don't use legendaries, don't use too many starters, they're too easy." And then look at me, I'm playing with
Yeah.
EXP all. I mean, to me, it's the difference is like, I don't know if it's a legitimate difference, but to me, it's like I'm still doing the hard work, I'm still training, but with a legendary or something, I feel like I don't have to train. I just like can make it. I can like beat Pokemon 20 levels above it if I have a legendary, and that's going to be too easy to me. I don't know. It's maybe it's just
Yeah.
I think it's just the way I'm programmed. But in the end of the day, they're probably the same equivalent of easiness. EXP alls are using legendaries and a lot of starters or something.
It
Yeah,
doesn't
I feel
roll
the
on
same.
enjoyment.
What's mine?
It doesn't lessen the enjoyment for me.
No, it doesn't, because I find a certain joy in just seeing these new Pokemon for my team in Gen 6 growing and learning new moves that I've never seen and evolving and all that stuff. So to me that's really exciting. And I like pulverizing. I don't like having to worry too much in these games. I like being able to like smash my Team Flare competition and I'm just like, oh, you guys didn't even have a single thing on me in that battle. Because there's everyone's so cocky that you battle. They have to be in this world, But and you're just like, oh yeah, really? Take this stun spore. Done. Okay, so as you're walking through more of this area, actually, right after you beat the admin and Alana, you'll be greeted by Sycamore scientists. They arrive on scene wearing superhero costumes. Don't ask me why. That's what they're doing. That's what they had that day. So, all right, capes and all. They heal your Pokemon and give you full restores. I'm not sure how why they never tell you how many full restores you get. Like, for instance, you get Pokeballs in the beginning of every single Pokemon game, but they never tell you the number that you get. And it's such a pet peeve of mine that I had to like go my inventory and see, oh, they gave me 10, they gave me 5, they gave me 15.
Yeah, how
So
much did they give us? I didn't check.
I didn't check, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, I
But
haven't left it
I
open.
Probably
just
like
gonna
ten
Yeah, I'm
or
assuming like 10,
five.
but the reason I'm wondering specifically for full restores is because they're so expensive that to get them for free is like, oh, wow, high rollers over
Well,
here.
actually, I feel like it might have been five.
Was it
And
5?
I've got it here.
Yeah.
Hang on. They give you two.
They give you two? Okay.
Yeah, they give you two.
I mean, maybe it's like they pull together and got you like a Christmas gift together, and they're like, oh, we've put two of our full restores together, it'll be better. Okay, cool. So we are all set in the power city of this, the power center of this place, so we're all good. And as we're leaving after all the conflict has happened, you can talk to those people being held hostage. A construction worker will give you TM-43 flame charge, which ups your speed every time you use it, and has... I'm not going to even say anything more about the move because I don't know it off the top of my head, and I'd rather not be wrong at this point. I have a pretty bad track record recently of being wrong on little bitty things like what a TM does, so I'll leave that one alone. And another scientist gives you the item Magnet, which I'm positive, I know this one for a fact, does up your electric type attacks. Okay, so as you're leaving the Lumio City Badlands, you will be greeted by a strange tall man who maybe represents a homeless person, maybe represents a Native American, maybe is just some big, tall, scary monster creature thing. Yeah, it was weird, because like you didn't battle him or anything, so you couldn't see a sprite, so you couldn't really tell what he looks like, because you just saw him in the overworld, and the camera was kind of zoomed out, but he was just like this tall, looming man standing there waiting for you to see him, and then when you saw him, he pulls a red from silver and gold and does dot, 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 and then walks away. So I didn't know what was going on, and I was just like, you know what? They'll develop it when they want to develop it. That was supposed to be my foreshadowing or something. I don't know.
Whatever. Well, he says something. He says something about, he says something about using the power from Lumio City for something. I'm not sure. I can't remember what he said. But he does say something. But I actually thought he was like a giant or something, because he was massive compared to our little sprite.
Seems like it.
Yeah, like, if you just look at any other adult, they were just like, a little taller than our sprite, but you know, whatever. But this guy was massive. I don't know what his deal was.
No, I don't either. He was big. I agree.
I've looked away from the screen for a second, and I looked back, and the guy's walking down, and I'm like, whoa!
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, that's not the first moment. That's not the first moment in this episode of PokeChat that you're going to talk about a surprise happening to you, Saman. Because there's another moment like that, don't spoil it yet, but there's another moment like that is really fun that happens in Pokemon. It's almost like it's like their version of the Screamer or something in Pokemon, to have like a random character come out of nowhere and just be like, I'm creepy and scary and you don't know what I'm doing. And you're just like, ooh. Yeah, it's fun. it harkens back to the days of Lavender Town, you could say.
I think that stuff is for us. Our generation. I think that's for us.
Yeah, I think those little spooks, they're not like scary things, they're just supposed to be like, boogity boogity boo. That's kind of, that stuff's definitely for us to like look more into and have more fun with, so I appreciate you, Game Freak. Thank you for doing that for me. I'm giving you a compliment for the first time in a long time, I'm sure. Okay, so, no, I've been giving them a lot of compliments. They've been doing really good with XY. I'm still really impressed. No major complaints. Really, really not. Okay, so from here, we enter in Lumio City, again. We had to go through the Northern Boulevard this time. The Northern Boulevard also gives you access to all those alleyways that you couldn't access before. Jack.
Mitch.
Ride to our loyal listeners how the PokeChat team feels about anything in Lumio City. Go.
Well, I don't have a huge problem with it, but I know you guys are very annoyed about the camera angle, which actually I am starting to get a bit frustrated with it as well. I mean, it's just annoying when you're trying to do something and it just switches all the time. Yeah. Like, but I mean, Lumio City is pretty cool, but another complaint I have is just, there's so many cafes, and I know that's meant to be like an homage to like Paris and you know, all the little outside cafes you can get there, but you know, it's just, why do you need that many cafes? Especially because it doesn't really achieve anything in the game. It just seems a bit... I mean, it's cool, it's fine, but it just seems a bit pointless when you can be like using that space for other stuff that actually could utilize your progress further in the game.
I'll combat what you were saying with more evidence of its pointlessness. Okay. When we have three cafes on the same street, on the same side of the street, right next to each other, all with similar themes, similar characters, similar looks, and that's three of about 25 within the city. Okay.
It just seems like they didn't try. You know,
they were
trying to annoy you.
Because I'm spending my very precious Pokemon time going through, not battling, not training. I'm absorbing the environment, but The environment I'm absorbing isn't an environment. It's cookie cutter. It's horrible. These cafes drive me insane. Literally. I'm sitting going through and I'm just like, oh, this is going to be another pointless cafe. What's going to be in this one? And the thing is, which drives me even crazier, is that there is like one that's important. Just one. And it's not the one that you meet Diantha and all that in. That's Southern Boulevard. But there's one in Northern Boulevard that is important. Very important. Amongst all of that trash, it's like picking a needle through a haystack trying to find the one important cafe to go through. Why did they bother at Lumio City if they were just going to cookie cutter it? You should have done it for real. They should have had it so there were like battle dojos everywhere and there were more of those like battle restaurants or something. Like those two were good, actually. No, they don't have to have any more of those.
I like special stores where you can get like special herbs and things like that, you know?
Right, they should have made it worth your while. Like everyone in every single one of those cafes should have given you something. They should have. I don't care what it was. I don't care if it was just a calcium or in-battle item. That's fine. Like, it's something. I feel like I did it for a reason. So that's all we're going to talk about, the pointlessness of all those cafes. We're done. We're not going to talk about them anymore because that's the last time we're going to be in them. That's done. Lumio City's horrible parts are done. All right, now we have some good stuff that happened in Lumio City, believe it or not. Okay, so as you're walking into the city, Shauna greets you and tells you to go to the Prism Tower, to see it all lit up at night, just like the Eiffel Tower does in Paris. So once again, like Jack was saying, an homage to the real city that this city is based off of. You can go down and do that immediately, but there are some things to do on that straight away down to the Prism Tower that I wanted to go through first. In Lysandra Cafe, it is basically all but revealed directly that Lysandra is the big bad. When a waitress literally says to you, "Welcome, ... no suit, huh, ... And I mean, if anyone can do 2 + 2, they know what's going on right now. And to make it even more obvious that they, A, want you to know what's going on, and B, are going off of the ideas of Team Rocket, there's a mysterious piece of furniture that gives off a mysterious vibe on a wall. So the hideout's going to be inside of this cafe. I mean, this is just like the gambling corner in... Wasn't that in both Gens 1 and 2? I don't remember which one it was in anymore.
I think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, guys, like, hide your secret hideouts in less obvious places, if anything. Like, it'll be more fun if I don't expect it. But they're not holding anything back with Team Flair right now. And unfortunately, I've been spoiled a little bit about what's going on with Lysandre and Team Flair. And I know what's going on, and that's going to be more interesting, I should say, than what we know now. But right now, it's just like they're taking such a cookie-cutter way of making this gang. And it feels like we don't know too much about any of the leaders yet. And we're at Gym Battle 5. We're about to go to Gym Battle 5. So it's really interesting to me that out of those four or five leaders, you know, the ones with those girls with really, really different hair, and they're wearing those red suits, and they're wearing, like, Tron glasses and stuff, we don't see them at all. We've seen Alana. That's it so far. And that seems very late in the game to only see one. And I'm just looking for, like, a character like Colorist to come around again. Like, not the exact leader, but just someone who's, like, higher up that's going to have kind of his own thing going on. Saman, you could probably say Axel from the Organization 13, you know? Like, he's not all for what the team's got going on. He has his own thing going on. That's what I'm looking for in Team Flair, and I'm not finding it quite yet. Are you, Saman?
So you're thinking of, like, a Giovanni type person.
No, I'm thinking of, like I said, Colrus.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a bit like in Scarlet Sword, which is actually right there. You've got Gimli, if you can see my finger. I can't even point it properly. Well, Gimli's up there. He is sort of like you think he's the bad guy, but then it turns out he's like literally a sword, like for the real, you know, bigger bad guy of the game. So I know what you mean, Mitch. But we've got to remember as well that, like, I remember reporting for it for doing the news for PokéChat. They said that the game isn't going to focus so much on the storyline as much as it is on, like, the mega evolutions and a lot more of the other stuff you can do in-game other than the actual plot of the game. I remember reading that and reporting on that, so...
So it's like they did more of us, basically.
Well, yeah, it's also, like, that's probably why that we're not getting that much from Team Flair, just because they are focusing a lot more on mega evolutions and... Oh, that's just what I think. I mean, I could just be, like, kicking myself in the foot saying that because we're probably going to get a lot more later on, but...
This is why I reckon the next game is going to be a step up now that they've laid out all these mechanics. They're just going to perfect everything the next game, I think.
Well, that's if we're on the same system. If we're on the 3DS, again, like X2 and Y2, we'll have fantastic games like X2 and Y2 where they'll have time to go through and play around with a lot of great story stuff. That's what made X2 and Y2 so fun to me, that we had a lot of story to go through. So I'd appreciate... I'm so sorry, I messed that up. Black 2 and White 2.
Right, H1 Black, yeah, I was thinking, what?
Right.
Black 2 and White 2.
But what I'm saying is I want X2 and Y2, if they do exist, to be like Black 2, White 2. Oh, that's really difficult to say.
Plot-wise.
Is that actually confirmed?
What, Jen?
Is X2 and Y2 actually confirmed?
No. Nothing's confirmed for a main platform sequel. The only things confirmed are Trozzi for the 3DS and that weird mystery game that's for the 3DS. I still don't know what's going on with the fighting game that was like the fighting types that fought against each other in like a Street Fighter kind of scene. I don't know what that was about, but
I never thought that was going to happen.
That was like a random screenshot at the end of like an XY trailer of that happening. It was strange. I don't remember.
No, it was like a random screenshot in like another country that wasn't like an official Nintendo thing.
Oh, so it wasn't even like legitimate. Why did the internet take that ablaze?
I remember thinking that, and you wanted me to report on it for PokéChat, and I was like, all right, Mitch, I don't think it's anything.
I mean, it was popular. Everyone was getting really into it, so I'm hoping that. They get all those side games out of the way. They do them. They finish them up. That's fun. But then they do a really good job with X2, Y2. Like, I know that they want to. And people are like, no, give us Z. And I'm like, I'd rather a new storyline than some fixed up stuff. Because it did such a good job with Black 2, White 2 that I think they could do the same for X2, Y2 and keep that tradition going along, you know?
Yeah, Black 2 is a very good game.
Excellent games. Oh, jeez, those were awesome. I wish PokéChat was rolling when Black 2, White 2 came around, because we would have had a fun time doing a playthrough of that. Could you imagine? I mean, I'm tempted to, but I know that we promised way too long ago that we're gonna finish up at Movie 1's commentary and then go on to the manga. So we'll go on to that after this and keep the games alone, unless we get a large uproar to bring back these game playthroughs. But in the meantime, it's pretty fun to go through the games. Okay, so let's finish up Lumia City, guys, because we have a pretty interesting gym battle coming up. All right. So past all that Lissandra Cafe stuff, if you go into one of the Pokemon centers in Lumia City, I'm not going to bother trying to mention which one it is, because how could I describe it? a random person mentions that Blue came to Lumio City. Blue, who is Professor Oak's grandson in the games, and instead of saying something polite like, I'll see you later, he said, smell you later, and it was so cute. I was like, oh, Blue's still around.
It's awesome. It's so cool.
It's cool. That's a great shout-out. That's an awesome shout-out, and that leaves potential for Gary to show up in the anime, I'm sure, too, and I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't follow the anime as it is nowadays. I've only ever followed it where we are, and like we're still in Gen 1 anime. But I don't know. Do you guys ever know if Gary's still around? I don't remember hearing too much about him recently in the anime.
Yeah, I don't remember.
No, I don't.
Sure. I was going to say little things like that in the game is like one of the reasons why X and Y are so great. Like it's just like the little things like that, which is just awesome.
Like, oh, Jack, there's been so many Hoenn shoutouts. So many Hoenn shoutouts.
No, but I mean things like it's just how it looks. Like, I remember going the very first thing, there was a Roselia fountain, and like that looked cool. And then like right from then, you just knew that it was gonna, you know. I don't know. I just like X and Y.
Good.
Lucario.
I didn't actually take Lucario when I got offered him.
Why wouldn't you take that free Lucario?
Because I want my own from Black 2. I'm gonna trade that over when I get the chance.
Oh, it's your special Lucario.
I mean, it's so easy to get one and breed
it, at least. Like, get your Ditto, name it. I used to call mine, did I tell you guys before? I used to call my Dittos that I bred with Michael Jackson. Which is pretty vulgar to do, especially posthumously. I'm sure people would look down upon that.
What have we done with the real Jack?
I felt like a bit of a prick leaving it. I was like, oh, I feel like a bit of a peeker.
You should feel like a jerk because apparently apparently, she didn't even want it. She didn't even care for this thing. She's like, eh, whatever, I have two.
and then wanted to go with you.
Unloved and sitting there waiting for you to take it at the top of that big old Mega Evolution Tower. Is she still standing there for you? I think she must be, right?
Probably. I just left. Yeah, I don't want
she's just sitting outside weathering the weather. It rains in that city. It's rained before I was in that city. So she's sitting out there waiting for you to take that little car. You're like, oh, he's going to come any day now. I know it. He just needs some harvest. There's a Mega Evolution Stone and everything. Yeah. Wait, Jack.
Stop.
Jack. The only way you're going to get that Mega Lucario is from taking that Lucario. Why don't you just take it and just steal the item and then just release it? Or if anything, if you didn't need it, you know, like...
If I do need the item again, I'll just go back and take it and then just use it on my other.
I hope for your sake that she's been waiting outside and weathering snow, blizzards, and rain.
I have a look now.
Okay, go get your Lucario. Don't play during the show. Bad boy, stop. Okay, guys, so we now have our first introduction to the gym leader for Lumiose City. Finally, he's a leader in a very large city. His name is Clamont. He works out of the center of the town, out of Prism Tower. Shauna joins you as he lights up the Prism Tower, and Shauna mentions once again with you that she has an awesome memory. So, yeah. I'm hoping that it wasn't as creepy sounding as it was to everyone else, because to me, I was just like...
It was cute.
I don't know. I'm not finding her, I like to make memories with you stuff cute, because I'm like, I barely even know you. Like, I don't know how days
they're
and nights
friends.
Work in Pokemon.
They're friends.
But they're new friends. They're like brand new friends. She's like...
Five gyms later. They're good friends.
All right. Okay. The fandom seems to think that Sean is pretty creepy. That's where I'm coming from. Okay, so...
Didn't they just randomly decide to be friends at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, everyone did. They were just like, oh, Sycamore wants us, and I live next door to you, says Serena, so you're going to come along with us, and let's all go have a good time. And then they want to call you Little
friends.
D or Big D. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, hang on. There they are. Can you see?
You still have your Lucario? Wait for it to focus. It'll get it. Show us, Jack. Talk.
There's this Lucario standing there with the chick waiting for
it's
me, staring
raining.
At me.
You are a horrible
it's
human
not
being.
Raining.
Oh,
it's not raining.
It will eventually.
You're not heartbroken, Jack.
How do you think that Lucario feels?
You can't just assume that I want to take your stingy old pet, okay? It probably gets rabies or something.
It's like those two Skinner and Lumiose City. They're just abandoned.
For all I know, that Lucario could be rabid and it will attack all my Pokemon. Right? Can I just give away your Pokemon?
The only disease
like
we know in the Pokemon world is Pokerus, which you want your Pokemon to catch because they'll level up quicker. They'll get more experience. So you should take that Lucario.
I bet you, because I'm not taking it, it's like a shiny or something that I don't know about yet.
That'd be funny. No, you'd see it in battle, I'd say. You know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Samad, it's raining for you too, so see, if Samad was playing and if XY linked up to how the weather in your real world was working, it would be raining on that poor Lucario. Just letting you know, Jack, that Lucario has weathered some stuff and it's waiting for you. Its metal spikes are rusting.
Oh, well. I don't care. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it unless I need the Mega, the Lucario Knight.
I'm just going to leave it there forever. What if someone else decides to come over? I'll take it, and then I'll
put it on Wonder Trait and give it away.
With a Lucario on it? With the Mega item on it?
No, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Oh, geez. But why would anyone want it? Don't they have that themselves? Unless they were too lazy to go get it and they just wanted to Wonder Trait it.
That Lucario is nothing special. Okay. My Lucario from Black 2 is special.
Okay.
Once
you move it from Black 2, it's stuck there, Jack. I mean, you're missing out on Jen's... I'll be able to play in Diamond Pearl and all those other games below it, so just letting you know. It's stuck in XY when you have it there, so I hope you love it enough to keep it in one game.
Yeah, that's right. I'm probably going to use X... the game X is my best team ever game, really.
Your best team ever game? I did that too for a while.
Yeah, I'll transfer my whatever Pokemon I need from like Gen 3, Gen 4, Gen 5, and then make one giant super team.
Jeez, that'll be fun. Okay,
I think I'm going to do that.
Back at Prison Tower, after Shauna's done being creepy and/or romantic and/or cute, she mentions that she's a friend with Clement, and that he randomly gave her an invention that, quote, solves puzzles, but that wow. She hasn't figured it out yet. And I thought this was a throwback to the frou-frou puzzle when she gave you the answer because she was tired of waiting for you, and she was just like, oh, we're in this hedge maze, and I know where to stay, and can I just, like, do it, and then we can be done?
That was funny.
It was. So I don't know what it means to be able to solve puzzles. I know it's going to have some relevance later on, but that's super vague. That's like, I can't. That's like saying,
like Tetris or something.
Right. Like the puzzles can go anywhere from Tetris to hedge mazes to a puzzle where you put pieces in. Like, I'm like, puzzles? Huh? Like, are we talking real world stuff? Are we talking video game stuff? I don't know. It's just
whatever. Yeah, puzzle.
Whatever the writers did, the writers obviously didn't care to give us too much specifics there. So it's supposed to be an important item, and now we're supposed to pick up on that. So I saw it. All right. So you also can go into a building and have a very, very creepy interaction on the second floor, where you walk into the second floor, you get off the elevator, the lights go down and up, down and up. There is a lady sitting next to you. The music stops. Happy Lumio City music is no longer going on. This lady with purple hair and black clothes isn't floating, but she's not walking. Her feet are stuck. She walks over in front of you, doesn't look at you, and says simply, "You're not the one." It walks away. You can search the whole entire floor of floor two. You will not find this thing. This slender lady. I think slender lady is a good word for her because she's a very slender man. She really is. It's just like, holy crap, like that would have scared the crap out of me if I was a younger kid. Like if I was playing this game, I would be like, Pokemon game is haunted. I'm done. No more. No more playing it. Was anyone else? Well, Saman, were you creeped out by Slender Woman?
I was a bit. I've read a theory that it's related to trainer ID, and maybe somebody is the one, depending on their trainer ID. But that's pretty. Cool. That would be really cool. So sort of like the lottery thing.
Yeah. Well, what happens if you're the one?
She says you're the one.
You're the one. I don't know. You're Harry Potter.
I read another theory as well.
You're Ash. You're Ash.
That,
Oh, I was talking Ash as in Evil Dead Ash. No, sorry, go on.
And then I read another theory that she's related to a character in Pokemon X, but I can't remember it very well.
So. Okay, that's fun. I don't know.
The one is in, like, every game. Anything in pop culture. Harry Potter, you've got Zelda, you've got Teen Wolf.
It's just the most typical point of storytelling. The one who saves us. But I don't feel like she's looking for anyone to save. I don't think she's looking for anyone to save anyone. I think she's looking to just, like, eat the soul of someone. Like, she's looking for the most tasty and scrumptious. She's looking for what?
Like a Dementor.
Yes, like a Dementor, absolutely. Yeah, she's hungry for a soul, and she needs to find the tastiest one. She's been looking in games every day. Imagine if Pokemon was in a horror movie, let's say. This game was in a horror movie. We were all in a horror movie right now. And playing this game is like a typical thing. Like, this is such a B-movie horror plot. But let's say in this movie, everyone's playing the game Pokemon. And everyone thinks it's a fun joke to go to that place and see the lady. But then people start disappearing. And like there's like an investigation to see what's happening, what game they last played. And they find out it was her. And then she comes out of the screen like the movie Ring. And she comes and gets everyone that's investigating. And
if this is going to be one of those movies, it'd be Paranormal Activity 4 right now. Because we're all on Skype. And that whole movie was pretty much like underage like pornography right there.
Oh, stop it.
That girl was on her bed the whole time in her underwear.
Who cares? She was laying in her bed Skyping with her boyfriend, talking to him normally, and a ghost would show up behind her, and she'd be like, boogada boogada.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Paranormal Activity 5. I saw you posted that on Facebook, Mitch. I saw that, and that's why I watched the trailer.
Oh, it's very exciting, yeah.
They're such stupid movies, but they're just... I don't know, they're just so good.
Oh, they're fun. They're very fun.
Because they're not scary anymore, but it's just... No. I just have to know what happens. Like, I just have to know what happens.
They never were.
The first two in, 3 were quite bad. But...
They freak me out. Just as much as right now, Saman's background freaks me out, because Saman has clothes moving in the wind. And I'm also wondering, I'm worrying about their clothes getting soaking wet. To your other side, behind you. No, other side. No, 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 other side. Your other way.
I think I got a thing about them.
Oh, there's a canopy? Because I was like, they're probably getting soaking wet out there, but like it moves in the background. It's kind of creepy. Imagine it's like that closet door behind me. Where is it? That one. It like started like opening up and like something came out of it. Now I'm all like spooked. I think we're doing this podcast really close to Halloween. That's why we're all getting freaky right now. But...
That's like a week ago.
Yeah, it was like a week ago, but it was fun.
We have to do a Halloween episode next year.
Yeah, we missed it this year. Oops. Well, at least we'll do another Christmas episode, I'm sure, because we did one where it was Christmas Eve for, I think, you guys, and you guys just showed up like, oh, hey, it's a holiday. We're just recording PokeChat. No big deal. And I was like, well, I'd be saying no if I was you guys.
Well, and then I recorded Glee Chat on my birthday.
Yeah, you did.
Which
oh,
was
yeah.
the most depressing episode ever. I recorded that
episode. Yeah, it was a 19th episode.
That was fun.
Slender Woman really distracts you. Slender Woman will
not talk about it.
Okay, so if you go to a museum, you can look at pretty little pictures. I wish I could zoom in on them because that's like they were actually put together very well. It looks like they were meant to be like, you know, like rendered art or something, but you couldn't look at them really closely. But every once in a while, a description of what the picture was supposed to be would show up that made sense with what those blobs looks like, so you can kind of make out what was going on. But it was pretty cool, and there was one of them that made no sense. There was maybe it was supposed to be mythical, but there was one picture that showed a little boy giving his mother the legendary Pokemon Shaman as a flower bouquet to be like, oh, I just found this legendary Pokemon and picked it up off the ground and it has flowers on it, so I'm going to give it to you for fun. But I'm just like, there's one of those, so. And I didn't see anything else too special. I mean, I did see one thing that probably excited Jack, because there was a reference to the Gen 3 guy that has the Wingull that makes you travel on his boat.
Mr. Briny.
There's a painting of him in there, and what's his Wingull's name? Isn't it like Popo or
Pico? Pico.
Pico. Yeah, so I thought that was cute. That one description.
He talks like a pirate.
Yes, he does. He was pretty cool. Yeah, you're right, Jack. Gen 3 just have a certain nostalgia for me. In a way that 1 and 2 don't. It's like 1 and 2 are too like overdone nostalgia, but like Gen 3 is like the middle one that people seem to forget about, and it did so much.
No one has forgotten about Gen 3 because all you hear is make, hole, and remake.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, it's only because it's next in line. It's I swear it's only because it's next in line. If it wasn't, people would forget about it. Because they just did Soul Silver like 5 years ago.
Just imagine if there's a Gen 3 remake with the same style as X and Y. I would die.
I would die. Everything redone in the style of X and Y. Yeah.
Oh, I remember I said that on another PokeChat. Remember I said that's what I thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That'd be gorgeous. I love that.
So I'm going to go back and find me saying that, because I remember I did say that.
Definitely. No, I remember you saying that. Yeah, I'd appreciate a Gen 3 remake as much of the world would right now. You know, like, it's so typical to talk about a Gen 3 remake. the more likely it'll happen, huh?
Yeah, right now it's completely saturated in X and Y, so I don't think it's going to happen in a while.
Totally.
They're going to have to get next sequel out to X and Y first, and then wait another year after that, and then see what they're going to do.
Maybe. That'd be cool. I mean, maybe they're working it in the background this whole time, and they'll release them really close to each other, which would be horrible marketing, but, you know, I've seen them done a lot of other horrible marketing for the Pokemon series before, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Pokemon A!
Yeah. Okay, so... And the first floor of this museum, on the left when you first walk in, a guy will give you TM-82 Dragon Tail, a pretty useful Dragon-type move. And I think that's one of the only TMs you can get of a Dragon-type. I can't think of too many others off the top of my head. Although this is the good time for anyone listening live to jump in and just, you know, shout it out at us and tell us what we're doing wrong. So go ahead. There's a whole other side game, I guess, at a hotel that is pretty fun. You can earn $2,000 for doing one of three tasks each day. You can do all three tasks, but the three tasks were to basically take your phone out and take a picture of the screen when it says an order on the text, and then it'll ask you, what's the order? And you can just look at the picture on your phone and be like, it was a delicious Ludicolo milkshake with a Pikachu ice cream on top or something, and it's just all nonsense. So, easy $2,000 there. You can make beds, which is basically going over to beds, well, running over to them and avoiding all the maids sitting in the hallway, and pressing A, it'll make the bed for the people that are sleeping there, I guess, at the hotel. And the last one is pretty difficult, because you have to find a lost and found item. I had quite a nervous little thing going on when I was doing this, because I would go step and press A a lot. Step, press A a lot. Because if you stepped on the broken item, on the lost item, it would break it, and you'd lose the money that you're supposed to earn. And you had to do it underneath a certain time, too, like 5 minutes or something, but they were all pretty stressful times. Like, going around making the beds, you had 1 minute, I remember, or like 70 seconds, and I was running. And I got done in like 15 seconds somehow. I was like, I think I broke a record. I think I'm like an Olympic runner right now trying to make these beds in this hotel. Yeah, so I had fun in the hotel, and I appreciated the money, but I didn't appreciate how much it was to stay there. So what I did was I saved, and I bought the night of $100,000 to see if anything special happened. It doesn't. It just heals your Pokemon. So you just paid $100,000 for free service. No, it's stupid. It's just I have no clue what it's there for. Maybe it's gonna activate something. But Jack, did you play around with the hotel at all?
No, I didn't even go into the hotel this time.
Oh, come on, you missed out on all that free money. It's so cool. You get to like just do these little mini games to earn them. It was like the first time we've been able to do mini games for money. I like that a lot.
You have to find it first.
I was considering doing it, but then I was like, I just want to get this gym over done.
You're funny. Okay, so that's all you're really going to do as for getting money in there. You can waste a whole bunch of time going through each floor in the hotel, or you can listen to this episode of PokeChat and know that on the fifth floor, it's the only place you're going to get anything of use. So ignore floors basically 1 through 4, and up to number 5, you'll find a lady in like a back room, I'd say, or like in a bathroom in one of the back rooms in the large flats on the top floor. She gives you TM49 Echoed Voice, which increases its power every time it's used. So, don't waste your time in the hotel. It's to the equivalent of the cafes with all those random NPCs bumbling around, getting in your way as you're running. So, pretty annoying.
That's a very good move for you. Man, Leo learns that.
Yes, he does. And if I don't know if Leo can do Swords Dance, but if it could, oh my god, that would dominate. Can you imagine that's like to the equivalent of, like, remember that thing we went through that was, like, how you can make Shuckle the most damaging Pokemon out there with, like, Rollout and, like, you know, Substitute and, you know, Swords Dance and all that stuff. So, yeah, Echoed Voice could get up there, too, I'm sure.
Hey, I don't know where got time for that.
Well, I'm sure it tops out at, like, a really, really high number, almost like Shuckle's Rocks, Shuckle's Rollout does. I think it did it top out of a number, or I think it was still going. It was like I think that the damage that Shuckle could deal was the highest amount of damage possible, but there were still numbers above that. So like if you could find a way, you could still make a stronger move. So maybe a good voice will do that. I don't know, because that's Gen 6, right? That's a new TM, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Echoed Voice is new.
Yeah, nice. So it's a nice little move, and it's a normal type move. So I'll leave that be because I know I got some heat. Oh, someone, I think also HP is legend maybe, or I could be calling it the wrong person, but they wrote in and they said, sure, the host who doesn't even like normal type Pokemon has a fire normal type on his team. That makes sense. And I complained. No, I've complained many times about Leo being fire normal. I've complained that it was pointless. It only gives me an added weakness. I don't need it. It doesn't help me for anything. I don't need to have an aversion to ghost type moves. I don't. It just makes me angry when I face the fighting type, basically. So, yes, see there. Well, I'm still angry at that Lit Leo, but it's a good fire type. It helps.
Yeah. Charmander, dude.
Oh, it's awesome.
Charmander.
No, I don't want to have too many starters. It makes it triple easy. It's already easy enough with EXP all turned on.
Yeah, Greninja just levels up so fast. Like, I've got to stop using him because it just levels up that fast. And it, like, could make everyone else get to the same level.
Yeah, seriously. No, I know the feeling. It always happens to my starters. They always want to evolve really quick because they're really good at that. That's what they're meant to be. So they're meant to be that quick little growing Pokemon that you can dominate everyone with.
Yeah.
You know, team. Except for Piplup. Piplup sucked. Let's go put that out there.
Piplup was alright.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on Piplup's evil line. It was horrific. That thing got off my team. That guy got off my team at, like, level 20. I was like, he's done. He was horrible. Never do Piplup, guys. You're not going to have a good time.
Chadwick is dumb. I don't like Chadwick.
Once you Chadwick. Go Piplup, you never go back.
Okay, so that's another hotel. There's a place where you can go that is called the Battle Test Area or building, but you can only do this once you've gotten up to the level of the Kalos Region Champion. So apparently, there are a lot of people who have beaten the Elite Four, which is funny, because if we're following game canon, once you beat the Elite Four, you are the Elite Four champion. And that's because Blue became the Elite Four champion in Gen 1. So all of a sudden, it's like all these other trainers that are inside of this restaurant have beaten the Elite Four, but they're not the champions. Is it like something you could turn down, maybe? You're just like, oh, I mean, I have like more stuff to do, and it's just I kind of just did this league championship for fun. Like, I don't need to go through all that work of battling everyone every day, so we're set, right? Because I just don't understand how all these people could have beaten the Elite Four. Like, there must be a cycle where it was like how Red beat Blue, you know what I mean? Like, maybe Blue could go to this cafe because he's beaten the Elite Four or something, but I don't know. Really strange, so there's that. Okay, so that'll be interesting to go to. We'll have to try and remember to do that post-game, because we'll do a little bit of a post-game episode in PokeChat, too. I'll be interested to see what's inside of here. I'm sure it's something horrible like rotation battles. And oh, speaking of rotation battles, if you go into Restaurant Le Ya, which is supposed to work in... It's supposed to work in direct contrast to Restaurant Le Na, I think it was, where you had like very unenthusiastic waiters serving you and fighting you. But here you can choose to do either triple or rotation battles. And I avoided rotation battles like the plague because I had such a horrible time doing rotation battles in Gen 5. Couldn't stand them. They were horrible. Did anyone else like rotation battles at all when you were playing with them?
That was sort of just meh. They were just there.
I hate it.
Le meh.
It was stupid. I just felt like rotation battles ruined the gameplay, because it made it just like, lol, I trolls you, look, I move. There's like no strategy to it. It's just like, oh, we're both going to guess to see who Pokemon's going to fight this time. And I'm just like, why? Can't we just like have it set out straight what's going on? There's no one that's going to get the upper hand. We're both going to be miserable.
They introduced that, and it was triple battles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, triple battles were better.
Yeah, triple battles is fine. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can go above triple battles, because I think it gets kind of cluttered at that point. But triple battles is probably... Well, oh, yeah, good point. But that's only... Yeah. But that's like one side has one still, you know? It makes more sense to be that way. And it's only in the wild. So they're all kind of stupid. Like, they're not going to, like, really attack you.
Yeah, but if you can have four Pokemon against four Pokemon in a trainer battle, that would just start to get ridiculous.
Yeah, they're too much. The turns will last too long. Right, like the turns will last too long, and it would be hard to like find one target to go after. Like, I don't know, it's not going to be that awesome if they decide to go quadruple battles. I couldn't see them doing quadruple battles personally.
Yeah, that's getting too far.
Yeah, I think they reached
the limit. Next game, 6-on-6 battles.
Can you imagine? That'd be crazy. I'd quit. I'd be like, this is not worth it. Everyone would just be surfing each other all day long, and I'd be like, oh, that wasn't even fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so you also can go into another random building that is, like, kind of cutesy and reminds me of this place in Gen 2 where you get the Squirtle bottle in the town that Whitney's in, Goldenrod. It reminds me of that place, if you guys know what I'm talking about. It reminds me of that little, like, greenhouse kind of place, because you can mix berries in this place in Gen 6. And these berries make your Pokemon more friendly. You also get, like, a free shake out of it. So if you're looking to do all those things that you can do with a higher friendliness rating from your Pokemon, you know where to go. All right, so that, I swear, is everything that happens in Lumio City. We've done absolutely everything that town has to offer. I know I haven't missed any things. I've combed those streets. I've battled every random trainer in the alleyway, and I've been miserable through every cafe. I've finished it all. I mean, I know where to get all my fashion. I know where to get my hair cut. I've done everything. I've even rode on a Go-Goat. The Go-Goats aren't interesting. They sit on, like, one stagnant, slow path, and they barely move. And I'm like, why am I on this thing? Why did I pay for this? I could have ran faster than this. And I'm not even on my bike, and I'd be beating this thing, lapping, you know? So that's all Lumina City has to offer. And hopefully you've downloaded the patch by now that lets you save in here, because it's too expensive to not save in here. Wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah, whereabouts can you get, where else is the fashion place? Because there's that one place that won't let you in. And then where's the other place? Oh, that's
it?
That's
it.
Did I already win now?
There's more than one, didn't I? No, there's just one.
You've got to keep doing things until they let you in. Have you tried the taxi and the go-goats and stuff? You've got to do that.
I never tried the taxi. The taxis creeped me out because there was a really funny, I guess you'd call it a meme, but we'll call it image macro, something that just kind of went around online but wasn't a joke. It was just a one-hit deal. And it was of little features that were being added into XY being taken the wrong way. And do you guys know what I'm talking about already? Because
I don't.
There was a screenshot of the female protagonist. It was taken from a trailer of Pokemon XY when it first was like announced, I think. And the female trainer was like next to the taxi guy, and the taxi guy had his arm on the thing like, hey. And the female trainer was next to it, and someone, you know, as a joke, wrote "prostitution confirmed." And then you know that one movie screen that's it's a large pink screen, and people are looking at it. It's in Southern Boulevard, so you were there like a long while ago. And like, there's that large screen that has like, it's like a figure of a female, I guess. And right next to that, someone wrote "Go Go Dancers confirmed" because it looks like it was supposed to be like that kind of poster.
Go goats. Go-go dancers.
Go-go dancers. That has a lot of potential. You can dress someone
so
that's
family friendly.
Imagine if they're originally a go-go dancer dressed up in a go-goat costume.
That'd be funny. Well, it's not supposed to be that. It's not meant to be that family friendly, because there was that one China who said she was going to take off all of her bikini once she finishes the battle.
Yeah, I'm just like, you're not wearing anything underneath that? Like, you're naked? And she used to wear her clothes.
Are you hitting on me?
Yeah.
Like, buy me a drink first.
Yeah, so that was a little bit funny that all this this adult humor can fit in within Pokemon still. It still happens, you know. We all know the other swimsuit lady that we've talked about, I'm sure, that's like, where does a girl keep her Pokeballs? That's her secret. And we're all like, all right, down your bra? I don't want to know where else. So, and Pokechat's in the gutter again. Okay. So finally, after moving through all of that muck of Lumio City, and all the good stuff too, you can go inside the Lumio City gym. You could have gone in originally and skipped all that crap, but you know, we had to go through it for the sake of Pokéchat. And this is the electric type gym. What's odd is that when you first walk into the first floor, you will find people kind of like hanging out, like it's the Eiffel Tower, I guess, you know, so they're gonna want to hang out at this touristy spot. And people are just like, oh, this is so pretty and stuff. And I'm like, really, get out of my way. I'm here to kick Pika and take names. I don't need your tourists in my way. Okay, so the theme of this gym is quizzes. And you go up an elevator. If you get the quiz question right, you go up. If you don't, it takes 5 years to zoom in and tell you, you got that question wrong. Try again. And the way it happens is that there's three people. And you have to correspond the person with the answer that was correct that you were given. And I always did it wrong on purpose to try and win as much experience and as much money as I could. Of course, it's what Saman, you said you'd have done before, too. Jack, did you do this back to when we were fighting Blaine in Pokemon Gens 1 and 2? Or just one? Just one, he had the gym. He had the quizzes.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it was very similar. Yeah, definitely.
So you did the wrong questions, too?
No, I didn't do the wrong questions. I did the right ones.
That's so sad. Why didn't you, like, go through and, like, see what each trainer was holding, like, what electric type
they were? Well, usually that's what I do. Usually I always just try and get the most trainers and stuff just for the most experience. But, I don't know, I just like being right.
I had
to get the right answer.
What was really frustrating about this was it wasn't like Blaine's gym where you could still battle those guys no matter what. If you got the question wrong, right, you could still battle them, but by talking to them, right? But in this, once you went up the elevator, you couldn't go back down to the floor below you and battle them. It was really frustrating. Because one time, I was on the monkey question. It was like, which monkey is this? And it was Panseer, and I thought it was Pansage. The silhouettes look just alike. I mean, it was garbage. It was the stupidest question ever. I mean, those things are all, you know, carbon copies of each other, so I was just guessing. Yeah, did you guys get tripped up in that that monkey question too?
Oh, I got it right. Like I didn't know what it was either, and I just guessed.
Yeah.
And I was like, pinball, yes.
Because it looks like, I don't know, it had like a mushroom on its head that looks like it could have been like the grass one. I don't know. It was just stupid.
See, I thought it was a cloud, that's why I chose pinball.
Oh, okay, I get you now. So, I mean, did the cry happen? Does its cry happen when it's doing it? Any
No.
questions? Like,
Maybe if
does
it was, it would just be a. No,
I would
maybe
have
if it did, it
recognized
would just
it.
be
I would have
a
recognized a
random, like,
little.
shriek.
Boop, boop,
Really?
Really?
It doesn't matter
Okay.
to me, because I was trying to get it wrong on purpose, so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But once you get it right, Saman,
Can't
you're
have the
screwed.
best
Like,
of both worlds.
if you get it right, you're traveling up. That's done. You're going to Clamont. That's it. I think that was one of the last questions too. So, yeah, as you go up to Clamont, he has, on his 2D art, he has like a Doc Ock little things coming off. So it's like
Yeah.
large like electronic tentacles, I guess you'd call them. And I think that's just supposed to go along with his electric theme. He uses the Pokemon Emolga, which is, as you guys all know, one of my least favorites. Magneton, which is a decent choice, although it should have been Magnezone. I'm not sure how you would train it to be a Magnezone, because you can only do that at. Well, I'm not going to guess where you can do that. You can only do that in a certain game way in the past. At like a, it, I think it's like that gym, that cave in Gen 5 where it was like large gems were sitting there and you had to budge them. And there was like a electric static energy going around in that gym. That's where you got Magnezone. I wish he had that, but he couldn't have traveled back in the past, so I guess he had no way of doing that. Especially since you can't do that yet in the game because you can't trade up for Gen 5 yet. So, and then lastly, he was using the evolution of Helioptile, who I haven't seen, so I'm assuming he's a Pokemon X exclusive. The Pokemon was Heliolisk, who survived the dig that I was using against it. I was pretty surprised. So that thing was pretty beefy for an electric type. So. That was it. Clamont was done. He was out for the count. He gives you the TM24 Thunderbolt, which he notes is a very popular electric type move to use because its power is 90 and its accuracy is 100%, so it makes it very favorable to use, especially if you're training up your Pikachu that you might have gotten in the forest to summon. I'm sure that you were all over this Thunderbolt, weren't you?
Oh yeah.
That's fun.
Duh.
Well, see, the thing is, I talked to my Lapras, which is weird, and my Gardevoir. I was like, why can these things learn this? The weirdest Pokemon ever can learn Thunderbolt. I've always known that. It's
That
just, and
makes no sense.
I mean, Lapras, I kind of get because it's like surfing all the time, so maybe it can like have control over storms. Maybe I don't know, but I remember one time seeing like a live battle online, and it was like a Moltres, I think, new Thunderbolt, and it was confusing. It just was stupid. It just didn't make any sense. And it's even more confusing when like a water type can learn Thunderbolt. Like I'd like to say Marsh Top can learn Thunderbolt. I'm always like, huh? Like it's groundwater. It's just that's just stupid. Jack, did you teach anyone Thunderbolt?
No, I haven't got any electric type on my team yet.
But you don't need them, as I'm just
Oh.
talking about right now.
Yeah. I haven't looked into it. I will later. I have looked later, but probably
All
not.
right, cool. Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is all we have for this episode's XY playthrough. We have some great commentary that came in from our listeners, including some fun emails and something that was even cooler than ever any other email we could have asked for. Someone being featured in Nintendo Power, and they are a PokeChat listener. I feel like we're talking to a celebrity over here. All right, so to start off, we're going to go to Saman to read off our latest email in from our listener who wrote into my email, which is mitch@hypable.com. Saman?
Yeah, we really love getting these. So they say, "Hey guys, really enjoying the podcast and hearing your experiences of how you are doing. I loved Red and Blue, so I brought X and Y. That's a big step up."
Yeah,
So
definitely.
you're gonna love it. "I'd love for all of you to do two things. One, at the end of each episode, tell us who your team was against the gym and who was your standout performer. And two, do a Wonder Trade and see who gets the best Pokemon." I've only done one Wonder Trade, but yeah. They say they got an Abra and were very pleased. They say, "Keep up the good work," and they're interested to see how we're doing with the Mega Stones. And that was Chris Bint from Northern Ireland.
Sweet.
Thanks,
Thanks for
Chris.
writing in, Chris Vin. That was a nice little email.
Yeah.
And we are actually going to implement at least one of the things that you told us to do, well, asked us to do first. So we wanted to go through and tell you guys from now on who our team is for each gym. So I brought out my 3DS, all nice and fancy, and I'll show you guys as I'm reading it out. I'll read it off my computer screen. Okay, so far I am using my Pyroar. He used Dig. He was my star performer to get me through this. I have my Pangoro, and he's pretty much a tank. I'm reading backwards, so this is really strange. I can't read backwards anymore. I have Chestnut, my grass starter. Gardevoir, I just love the way the thing looks. It's just so cool. Pavilion, my bug type guy. Lapras, of course. I think everyone knows what's going on with that guy by now. And there's no way to make this camera focus, so I hope you guys can all see my little sprites bouncing around. All right, Jack, who did you use as your star performer, and who's your team for this battle?
All right, well, my team is always going to be the same, just because how I do it is... I always just, like, catch Pokemon, and then as I keep progressing and I need more Pokemon, I'll sort of go through the ones I've already caught, or if I have one I want to catch, and I sort of just try and weigh out the types, I guess, how everyone does it. But right now my main team consists of a Vibrava, Mr. Mime, Pyroar, and Greninja. And at the time it was Trapinch. He was supposed to be sort of my star player just because it was ground, but then all of a sudden there was flying, which was a Emolga, flying electric. So that went out the window. So then I used Mr. Mime for that. But then Trapinch actually did pretty good with he did pretty good considering he was still quite a low level at that point, and he did pretty good taking out the electric type, so I'll have to say Trapinch.
Sweet. And while you were just talking about Emolga right then and there, we have a comment that came in from our very own Devin. He was working at the beginning of this episode, so he couldn't jump in time. But he wrote in a comment. He's listening right now. So hi, Devin. He wrote in, Emolga for the win. No, Devin, you were very wrong. Emolga for the anti-win. We'll just say that.
He just likes to go against our opinions. just because he can.
Totally. Okay, so Saman, you had the same thing as Jack. You had the same team basically throughout your run. For this, we'll say our teams, since I think we're all going to keep them. We'll say our teams now, but we'll just say our star player, our players for each gym battle, to make it a little bit more concise. So, Saman, your team and your star players in parentheses.
Okay, my team, what happens is I select my team, like get all the types that I want, and then after that, it's the same all the way through. So I have Pidgeot, Sylveon, Pikachu, Charizard, and Chestnut. And shockingly, my star was Simipour, tied with Sylveon.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. I'm not...
Simipour, the water type.
The type disadvantages aren't giving me too much of a problem. My Simipour was just the beast.
Dig?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Were you using Dig, Simon?
I don't have Dig.
What were you using?
Surf.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
I'm not kidding. My Simipour Surf, for some reason, is an absolute beast. So that's my surprise. Funny. That's
well,
my surprise.
Surf has 90. Doesn't it? Surf has a 90 power, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 90, so. Yeah. Yeah, 90 and accuracy 100.
So does fly.
Yeah. It's been a beast. I don't know why.
Well, that's funny. Okay, so there's all of our teams, and in case you guys are really curious to hear what we have to say about your teams and who your star players were, a good way to do that is in the PokeChat fan Facebook group. And it'd be fun just to see who was your surprise Pokemon for that battle, because I'm really shocked at Simon's Simipour. That's just really odd. So, okay, so Jack has something from that Facebook fan group from a loyal listener to all things Hypable, Nicholas Conte. And I'd love for Jack to read the awesome feature that Nicholas had in the Nintendo Power. So go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, so as Mitch said, it's in the Facebook fan group, and Just a little ad. That group is kicking right now. I mean, everyone's posting stuff in there just about stuff with X and Y, and so it's a lot of fun. So this is what he has to say. He says, anybody remember the old Pokemon section in Nintendo Power that featured teams? I submitted one that made the magazine back in January 2002 during the Gold, Silver, Crystal days, but he used a different last name because apparently he had not yet embraced his nerdom. But it's 2013, so everybody can do that. Nerdism. Nerdom is the biggest thing right now, so embrace
Always
it.
Embrace nerdism.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, so this is what his team, the team that that he had that got submitted into the magazine. He had a Snorlax, Machamp, Exeggutor, Miltank, Zapdos, and Tyranitar. And so this is what the magazine had to say about it. I'm guessing he sort of just said, sort of just gave them like tidbits about how his team actually was, and then they sort of elaborated on it. So he trained up his team to be focused mainly on healing and recovery. Miltank had learned Milk Drink and is holding a leftovers item, as well as some of the other Pokemon learning moves like Rest and Giga Drain, which leftovers is actually a pretty good item. And I think I've given that to my Pyroar, I think in X and Y. Yeah, I know I've got it. Only Pokemon that doesn't really have a recovery move is Tyranitar. And but the reason that is because he's trained it to have very powerful offensive moves. He's also worked on training his Machamp up for his accuracy with its holding in items. The item it's holding is a scope lens, and along with it's learnt the fighting move Cross Chop. And Cross Chop already actually does have a high critical rate, which the scope lens is going to increase at. So that's actually quite good. So it's more likely to land the critical hit. And, as most teams, as people do with most of their teams, it's very well-rounded to cover most of the types. So that is very cool. Thank you, Nicholas Kante. I hope I'm saying your last name right. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I was featured in Nintendo Power. I remember maybe, like, emailing in every once in a while, and I never got featured, and I was really sad. I really wanted to be in, like, their comment section. It was Nintendo Power. Those were the days, guys. Let's just make those days.
We have one more person as well. We have quite a few posts in the group, and they all get read. But we've got one from Leon Prentice. I hope you're fine with this reading out your post on the podcast. He said, thank you very much for accepting me in your group, talking about the Hyperball PokeChat fan Facebook group. Of course. If you want to join the group, I think, Mitch, you've set it up so you have to request. But, of course, you're always going to be... I don't say always, but you definitely are going to be accepted into the group. We're all pretty cool in there, and yeah, it's just such a good time seeing everyone post stuff and all the conversation that's happening, so get on it.
It was a good idea.
Yes, it was. It definitely was. And you guys
we see everything.
You guys might find the page that we made at first, because there was some confusion about, like, do we want a Facebook group? Do we want a page? Because a page people can like, but the conversation is very much like, you know, the...
One-sided.
Right, it's one-sided, but the group is more like everyone has the same strength and voice, so that's why we did that. And everyone will be added. It's just I didn't want people creeping as opposed to adding in, because it's not as fun if people aren't in the group. So that's why I made it so that only people who can post in there for view the posts are the people who are in the group. So, yeah, join in and have the same Pokemon fun that we're having with all of our great listeners in there. I think we're around, like, 30 right now, so it's pretty fun. We're liking it. We're having a good time. Okay, guys, so... That's all we have for episode 35 of PokeChat. We will see you guys on Saturday for our 6th gym playthrough. We're getting pretty far in our game so far. We'll finish right before Thanksgiving in the United States. So right around November 19 or something around there, I think we'll be finishing up our last XY playthrough episode. And after that, we will, of course, like I said, go back to the anime to finish up that right before we round off with our movie 1 commentary, just to put you guys back into the worlds that we are in right now. Other than that, that's all we have, so we will catch you guys on Saturday at noon EST for our 6 gym battles. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.